Before we open God's word, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Almighty God, living God, our guide and the object of our love and the reason we gather together, we come before thee in prayer. We come to open thy word, and we come to learn to know thee, to be affected by thee, to grow in the knowledge and stature of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, till we come to that perfect man, complete and entire in thee. Lord, this is our prayer. We thank thee for gathering us together. Pray that thou would bless thy word, bless our gathering, and bless thy holy name in our hearts, in our lives. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. With the Lord's help, I desire that we would turn together to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth, as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, But I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning.
O Lord, our God, as thy children have gathered themselves together this evening hour, we appreciate the time that we can come once again, our own free will, to worship thee, our God, and that's the main and purpose that we have come this evening. Our brother has opened the word, the living word that is so precious to all of us that long for it and desire it. And as we have read together that thou art the vine, or thou art the branch, and we are the branches, or the vines, we can do nothing without thee. We realize we must be dependent upon thee. And the only way that we can do anything in this life is to let it be through thee and through the leading of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that you promised would come. And we're so thankful that you have sent the Comforter to be with us, to teach us, to comfort us and to guide us and direct us. Help us to love thee, and to love one another, and to love your word. And so, Father, we find ourselves gathered together with the joy in our hearts that we might meditate upon this word this evening hour. We're thankful for the government which we have that has allowed this. We're thankful for those that have come tonight that have brought their children and the young ones that come, but that they might too hear the words, that it might be embedded in their hearts and in their minds as it has been for us for many years. And so, Father, there's much to rejoice over. There's much to be glad, much to be thankful for. And so we gathered ourselves again tonight to hear the word. We pray for those that are unable to gather. There are many, Father, that are sick or of old age, just unable to gather. We pray for them that you'll comfort and be with them also through the power of the Holy Spirit. And for even those, Father, that have chose not to come, that you would touch their hearts and draw them with thy cords of love, even as you have drawn us tonight. So, Father, there are much that we could ask of thee. Thou knowest our wants and our needs, our concerns. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that you know our needs, that you would meet every need to every soul that has gathered, especially here tonight. May these words of truth and life ring within our hearts and our minds, even as we depart, go about our ways, that we might reflect back on this evening hour and the words which have been spoken. So we pray a blessing upon our brother. Inspire him through the Holy Spirit. Give him wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that we all might know and believe that thou hast spoken to us in this evening hour. We promise, Heavenly Father, to give all praise and honor and glory to thee. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The chapter that we've read together is a portion of a conversation between Jesus and his disciples as they're spending time with each other shortly before Jesus would give himself to be crucified, shed his precious blood upon the cross. And as they're talking, they're asking questions and Jesus is explaining things. And just a few verses before the beginning of our reading, Judas, not Iscariot, asked him, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" The disciples and many others were expecting the Messiah to manifest himself to the world, make himself known, come onto the scene, become a savior for Israel. And Jesus says to his disciples, "I'm not going to manifest myself to the world, but unto you, my disciples." And so they ask the question. They want to understand, how is this going to be? What's going to happen? And we have questions like that sometimes. We wonder about the future. We wonder how things are going to be. And it's good to ask the Lord. He has perfect understanding of these things. And he explains for them what is about to happen. He is going to be, he's going to give himself as a ransom for many. He would be crucified. And he would be separate from them physically. Yet he would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And it would give the disciples sadness to think of their Savior, Jesus, their teacher, their rabbi, the one that they had been following for so long, that he would be gone from them. Yet he gives them the assurance that there would be an ongoing relationship, that there would be a continual and abiding presence of the Lord with them. And in chapter 15, he describes that to the disciples and what it's going to be like. Because it's going to be a little bit different than the disciples following Jesus and walking and listening to him. He would entrust unto them his word, and he would impart unto them the sealing of the Holy Spirit. And they would be entrusted to be ambassadors to go out into the world and make him known. And they needed to know that he would be with them. And we need to know, as believers, that Jesus loves us and he will be with us. And this is the description in the vine and the branches and the gardener, the one that's a husbandman who is tending the branches, of how this is all going to work. The Christian church has been distilled down to creeds in sometimes, to lists of rules, to societies and cultures. But that's not what Jesus said. The essence of the Christian faith and of the church that he was establishing was that individuals would willingly submit and surrender to a loving faith relationship with Jesus Christ and obedience to his commandments. That's the end of the story. Anything more than that is desolate. Anything less is desolate. But Jesus Christ, the one that we sang about, who is alive, living in us, brings hope of salvation, brings hope of peace, brings cleansing from sin. And it is our duty and our joy to come together when we do, to confirm that we are committed to to that picture of Christianity that Jesus is displaying here. That Jesus' commands are first and foremost in my life and yours. And that we support and uphold each other in love in that endeavor that Jesus has given for us to keep. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. And there are branches in him, in that vine. This is the picture. This is the illustration. These are the things that he's painting. And now he's going to put some action to it. He's going to explain how it works. And he begins with a warning. Just like he began his preaching in Galilee, in the synagogues, to those who came, that they were to repent. He gave the warning to those who came to hear his teaching. You see these people that are dying unjustly. That's the same fate for anyone who does not turn to the Lord in repentance and humility. Well, there's also a warning here for the branches. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. This is what we start with when we purge a tree. We start with the dead branches that are not bearing fruit. They're easy to identify to the trained eye, and they need to be out of the way so that we can see the branches that have hope, that have some fruit bearing capacity based on the virtue of their connection, that vital connection to the trunk, that main central branch, that main central trunk, that vine that upholds all of the branches. It gives a warning that there's things that need to be done away. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And how does that come to pass? He explains that later on. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth. These ideas of abiding and obedience to Jesus' commands are synonymous. There's no one that claims that Jesus is Lord and says, but I don't really care to do anything that he says. They are together. They're one. So if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered as a branch. And men gather them as a branch, and they're cast into the fire as a branch, and they are burned as a branch. Would be done. And it's a sober warning of what happens. And there's another scenario of the branch that's bearing fruit. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In Christ, there seems to be no option but pain and pruning, and that things don't go back to normal, to a normal, comfortable state. But either we're growing or we're dying. And we have the blessed assurance that in Jesus Christ, who is alive, we abide in him as we're taught here, that there's much fruit to be born because he is gracious. He's giving. He's abundant in his ability. He's shown that to us. He's proven it to us. But it is on our behalf that we would do the things that are on our part to abide, to believe, to trust, to hold on to. Just like that branch that holds on to the trunk, there's no thought of giving up. There's no thought of letting go. But with all the might, with all the strength, with everything that we have, because it's our source of life, there's no hope outside of that vine for the branch. And we know that that's true. When we look back at our life of sin that we turned our backs to and left behind us, that there was no fruitfulness in that, that there was no joy, that there was no peace. But in Jesus Christ, in the forgiveness that has come through his shed blood, oh, the peace that had filled our soul, how we long to maintain the purity of that connection, that vital, life-giving connection, and cling to every word of Jesus Christ as he teaches us in the ways of humility, in the ways of honesty and integrity, in the ways of purity of heart and of thought and of our words, how we spend our time and our willingness to serve in the way that he asks us to. Abide in me. He says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. In the context that he's speaking of, I think of the branch that has been thoroughly cleaned through purging, that is ready to bear fruit, that has had those sucker shoots taken off, and that's done through the word. The word of Jesus Christ requires us that we seek after him with a pure heart, to love the things that he loves and hate the things that he hates, and to have him cleanse us from sin. And in walking in his commandments, we have no fear of straying to the right or to the left, because he does not lead us astray. The danger comes in when we look at the end of the chapter, speaking of the world and its influence, and that it hates God. And when we try to sit on two benches between the two, that's where the stress comes in. But in Jesus Christ, there's this purity of hope and peace, even as Jesus said. He says that he would desire that his joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full, and that you would abide in his love, and that you would abide in him through keeping of his commandments. There's a purity that is so precious, that is the essential relationship of a Christian life. A child of God, a disciple with his Lord, just as the branch is with the vine. It says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. There are things that needed to be done away with that we've covered. We've spoken about those things. There's also things that need to remain. There's things that need to abound and that we need to grow in, abiding in the Lord, as we've talked about. He is the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. There is something that we cannot miss in that verse. We can understand the idea of the effort and our part in seeking to abide in him, the faithfulness and the commitment that takes. But what has been said about bearing fruit? Is it all about our efforts? Is it all about our diligence and our abilities, our talents? No. We abide in him, but he in us. John uses an illustration, or actually Jesus uses an illustration, and John records it for us. But Paul speaks very plainly to the Galatians. Where he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Does that not give a clear words to explain this illustration? Jesus, as we sang, is alive. And it's his intention for his disciples that he would be living within us. That his obedience, that his faithfulness would be at work. That his word would be doing work of pruning, of removing things from our lives that keep us from focus on bringing honor and pleasure to our Father through the fruits that we would render through his strength. It is that relationship that we need to acknowledge. We are never without our need for the Lord, his strength, his spirit. And we depend upon him in this relationship. We would be nothing without him. He says, "For without me ye can do nothing." And we can do things. We can do activities. We can go to work. We can go to church. We can fill in the blank. You can do things, but can you or can I do anything of an eternal value that promotes the kingdom of God, even a little bit, without the Lord? Not a chance. And it all needs to be there for a healthy tree to grow. It will bring a purity to our desires. And there is a necessity that it changes, that this relationship and abiding in Jesus Christ and following his commands, it must change our will. Otherwise, Jesus could not say what he says. "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." This is a transformed person with new heart, new desires that overflows with the desire for the will of God to be done. And those requests are honored without question. Herein is my Father glorified. A goal and something that each and every disciple of Jesus Christ desires to do, to bring glory to their heavenly Father. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And that process involves pruning. That process involves obedience. There are fruits of the Spirit, the character of God, that make themselves known to those that are yielded to the word of Jesus Christ. This is the way that you will be my disciples. Jesus said, "You cannot be my disciple unless you give me everything. Unless you take up your cross and follow him." This is the pattern of discipleship that Jesus is laying out. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." The words of Jesus in this pure relationship of faith and love and obedience through his strength, not of our own, bring such security and strength in the love of God, such that there's no fear. "Continue in ye in my love." Abide, persevere, continue on. "Keep my commandments. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If we turn away from the commandment of Jesus Christ, we will enter a place of guilt and shame. Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That love of God is so strong. And it upholds each and every branch of his as he tenderly cares and provides. Not only does the husbandman, we look in other passages of Scripture, the care that is given. This particular passage speaks of the pruning. There are other passages that speak of the fertilizing. He notices when we're struggling. He notices that there's something that's lacking. And he's always able to provide. We see here, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. There's a word, there's a commandment of Jesus Christ that's contained in the Gospels. And if a soul, if you or I, would read and believe and allow it to penetrate our hearts and lives such that it changes us to the intent that he desires, he provides. He provides everything that we need. We are thoroughly furnished to every good work. We're lacking nothing. The branch is clean. There's no distractions. But it's only found in the words of Jesus Christ. And we can encourage each other in our commitment, in our understanding of how important that vital relationship is. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Here's another thing that needs to abide and remain: the joy of the Lord. Outside of Jesus Christ, we know there's torment, there's fear, there's anxiety. And when we're tempted with those feelings, with those persuasions, we run to the Lord. We ask him for help. We ask him, even as the disciples, how is it going to be? We need that assurance. We need that reminder that his joy is intended to remain with us and to fill us. All the things and the love that he speaks of, this commandment, this great commandment that he gives, that summarizes all of Jesus' teachings, that ye love one another as I have loved you, such that we would lay our life down for our friends. All of these things are voluntary. Every day they're voluntary. There's no autopilot in this relationship. There's no set the dial, learn a few things, and then we're good. No, Satan has a challenge for us. He has obstacles in our way. We need that living, vital relationship with Jesus Christ, our vine, our salvation, our guide, the Holy Spirit, to lead us. That's where the hope, that's where the joy, that's where the fellowship will be true. But all of it is voluntary. The joy is not dependent on the things that happen to us and that things are pleasing to our liking. No, joy is a choice. Even Paul, in the prison, he told the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord. And he could say that not because things were going great in his physical life, but he knew he was abiding in the vine. That love is a choice. The abiding is a choice, day by day. And by his grace, he furnishes our table that we come to sit when we come to the Word of God. He furnishes our table with all that we need to partake. To partake, to have what our souls need. To do these things. This year, I learned a lesson about purging. I cut back the little bit too much of the apple and the pear trees, and there was no fruit, not even a blossom. Man can do that. This world can do that with intent to hurt. And an inexperienced gardener can do that. But who is pruning us, brother and sister? Who is the one who knows what he is doing, who's experienced? Would we say no to him? No. The things that he brings to prune our lives are for our good and ultimately for fruit bearing, to develop that godly character. But another aspect of the fruit, that's the aspect of the plant that is carrying the seed, that is interested in propagating and sharing with others. That is something God wants for us to do too. When he looked out at that Samaritan village that was coming out to him, he told his disciples, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest." The fruit is for a harvest. And that harvest is souls of men. And it takes an effort. Jesus expended effort to tell Zacchaeus that, "I'm coming to your house today." Much more, that he came to this earth for each and every one to be that living vine of our salvation. But he wants us to bear that sort of fruit too. That we would be burdened for each other. That we would be burdened for lost. And we do our part in various ways. God's given gifts to his body to perform various functions. He's given us his word. And When the world and when our families see us with a dedicated spirit looking to the Word and saying, "This is what I desire with all of my heart, more than anything that I could want, it's Jesus Christ and being a part of his body." That is part of drawing others to be a part of a genuine faith and love and obedience relationship with Jesus Christ. It's incumbent upon us to be doing our part. One final thought about purging, pruning. We know that we prune the small branches so that the branch can focus its energy on the bearing of fruit. But there's another interesting thing that happens when somebody prunes a tree. They cut off those dead limbs, and then they step back, and they look at what the tree looks like. They look at its shape. They look at how the sun is coming in to the branches, how it's functioning. God has that perspective. We often don't. But the Word of God reveals God's plan. And there's a plan that every husbandman, every vine dresser, everyone that prunes a tree, they have a plan. They want to make that tree a certain shape. And sometimes it's a little bit confusing to see when you're in the midst of that operation. But when you step back and look, you realize every branch in that tree or on that vine has a place in His plan. You have a place. Take up your place by believing and loving and obeying Jesus Christ. Amen.
We are the branches. And as He says here that I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So in clinging and realizing that we are the branches, we are expected then to bear fruit. And because the Lord prunes us, trims us, He expects even more fruit as we live our lives, as we learn to love Him, as we practice love with one another, and we learn to know and understand His will for our lives. And as He says here, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And so, greater love is this that no man could have than to lay down his life, which He has laid down His life for us, because He loved us, and may we abide in Him and understand His will. Amen.